We have a rare treat today, which is a second Sunday of Christmas. That doesn't happen every year because of how the calendar falls. Usually we just have one Sunday to celebrate Christmas. This year we get two. And I think that's important because it means we get a chance to, as Mary does in Scripture, ponder a bit about the meaning of Christmas. Even as the world moves on, you know, the world which started celebrating Christmas the day after Halloween, and as I discovered, my father and I went to the Ingles down in Lake Lure to get a few groceries on the day after Christmas, and we were amazed to discover that all the Christmas stuff is off to the side in the clearance aisles, and they already had out the Valentine's Day decorations and cards and candy. The world moves on quickly. They've gotten all your money for Christmas, and now moving on to Valentine's Day. But as Christians, we don't move on. We celebrate Christmas after the 25th of December, up until Epiphany. And so it gives us this chance to reflect a little more on the meaning of Christmas, the meaning of the birth of our Savior. And that's what both of our readings this morning do. Both Paul and John are reflecting on the meaning of the incarnation. Or as John says, the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us. Now, what's interesting about John's gospel is although John starts with a birth narrative, it's very different than what we find in Luke and in Matthew. In the beginning of John's gospel, there are no shepherds. No wise men, no angels, no donkey, no sheep, no stable, no Mary and Joseph. Instead, John says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word being the Greek word logos, which essentially means the creative, saving power of God. So what John is saying is, from the beginning of everything, Jesus was. It wasn't just a baby born on December 25th or whenever. But Jesus has been around forever, since the beginning. And then John says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that's about as close as we get to the Christmas story in John's gospel. But it sums it up, the meaning of it. The Word, the power of God, the second person of the Trinity, became human and dwelled among us. Or as Eugene Peterson, in his translation, The Message, puts it, the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. Became one of us. But what both Paul and John are focusing on is not the birth of Christ that we celebrate on that day, but the meaning of that birth for us every day. In fact, I would go so far as to say for both Paul and John, what's important is not celebrating Jesus' birth, but recognizing how Jesus can be born in us each day. In fact, John essentially says that. And just so I don't misquote it, I'll read it to you again. To all who received him, Jesus, all who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. Born of God. That's the power of Christmas that John is getting at. How Jesus is born in us. And did you notice the number of times Paul used that phrase in this passage from Ephesians? In Christ. In Christ, we become children of God. In Christ, we inherit God's power and God's promises. It's all about Christ being born in us. And that's why it's John's gospel that uses the phrase to be born again. Did you know that Christmas was about being born again? Well, it is, but not necessarily in the way that we sometimes think about being born again. I remember the pastor of the church where I grew up, and when I was a teenager, I asked him the question, what do you say when people ask you if you are born again? And he said, I say yes, every single day. And so it is. We are born anew every day. That's part of what Christmas is all about. Christ has come, and through that, we are offered the chance to be born again as children of God. Did you notice that? How Ephesians and John both say we are children of God. But John also says quite rightly, Jesus is the only Son of God. As the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed say, Jesus is God's only natural, only begotten Son. We are, as Paul reminds us, adopted children of God. I've always been almost overwhelmed by admiration for those who adopt children or serve as foster parents, who take care of children who are not their own biological children. I mean, genetically, we're disposed to take care of our genetic biological family. But to adopt a child is to step outside of that, to say, I'm going to choose to love this child. You know, we're sort of stuck with family. But if you adopt a child, that's amazing to me. That's what God says to us. You are not my natural born children, but I choose you. I adopt you. I love you. And it's my choice. And it's not because any of us are such wonderful people. In fact, as John is getting at, since Jesus was around since the beginning, this was part of God's plan since before the world was made to adopt you as a child of God. As John Calvin puts it, and you know, as a good Presbyterian, I like to refer to Calvin as much as I can. Calvin talks about this adoption in terms of, his word is election. We are elect. We are chosen by God. Here's what Calvin says about this passage in Ephesians. Paul declares that God's eternal election is the foundation and first cause both of our calling and all the benefits that we receive from God. If the reason is asked as to why God has called us to participation in the gospel, why God daily bestows upon us so many blessings, why God opens the gates of heaven, we always have to return to this principle that God chose us before the world was. The very time of the election shows it to be free. For what could we have deserved, or in what did our merit consist before the world was made? See, if God adopted us to be God's children before the world even existed, it means God didn't adopt us because we're so great, but God chose to love us before anything existed. Another reformer from the Protestant tradition, this a man named Wolfgang Musculus in Vienna, about the time of Calvin, puts it this way, again talking about this passage from Ephesians. He says, the true glory of God does not depend on the quality of the people God gathers to himself, but on his goodness, grace, and mercy. It is not located in our excellence, but in God's. Out of his immeasurable love, he chose people and was pleased to raise them from their lowly and dishonorable state to the dignity of being his children. Meanwhile, it is required of us that after we have been called to that amazing and incomparable grace of God, that we should adorn that glory by living a new life, that we be born again. That's what Christmas is about. Not just the birth of a baby, but how the birth of that baby, that Savior, affects us and affects the way that we live, knowing that we are children of God. I mean, think about that. You are a beloved child of God, adopted by God. God has chosen to love you. That's why Jesus was sent to earth. Now, what does that mean in your life? It's nice that this second Sunday of Christmas happens the first Sunday of the new calendar year. And even though, let's be honest, these new years are just the turning of a page, it's all man-made hype. But it is a time that many of us pause to reflect on the year just past and perhaps how we can do better in the year ahead. Even if those resolutions are forgotten by, you know, February, that's okay. We still think about and hope to do better. That's what it means to be transformed. That's what Christmas is about. A new chance, a new opportunity to be born again. And it's open to everyone because every single human being is a child of God. The question is, what do we do knowing that? Will it change our lives? So, if you will accept a suggestion from me this first Sunday of the new year, starting with the acknowledgement that we are adopted children of God, I would invite you every day, we'll just start with every day this week, although I would encourage you to do it every day this year. At some point every day, look in the mirror and say out loud, I am a child of God. Christ has been born in me. How can I share that? Try it. Try it for a week. Humor me. Knowing here in this Christmas season why Christ was born, knowing that we are children of God, doing our best to make sure Christ is in us, born in us, let's take that seriously together here in this new year and see where it might lead us. Amen.